Well, good. Why don't we go to the Lord together this morning and have an exciting Zoom Sunday school class. All right. And it's a little different, but I'm glad you're turning on your video so we could see each other still and stay engaged that way. Let's go to the Word in prayer. Heavenly Father, we would like to come before you in again, different circumstances. But Lord, I am thankful this morning for the advancement of technology and that we can able to be able to gather this way still together. Lord, it is by your grace that we're able to enjoy this and also be familiar and used to a Zoom format. I thank you, Lord, because your mercies are new every morning. Lord, your mercies are new every morning. So great is your faithfulness. So, Lord, this morning, we want to thank you for this is the day that you have made for us. And let us rejoice together and be glad in this day. Father, even that particular scripture is talking about the day of salvation. As we think about our day of salvation, the day we came to know you, the time that we came to know you, that we can enjoy you and exalt you together. Lord, we love this and we want to look to you this morning. Father, have mercy on our entire group of brothers and sisters that make up this particular spiritual family. Lord, be with us as we have had to pivot and come into a Zoom environment again completely virtually. I pray for your mercy upon our brothers and sisters. And Lord, would your spirit please move freely in our midst? That is our prayer, regardless of whether or not we are on virtual or we are in person. Lord, we invite each one of us, Lord, I pray that we would invite your spirit to work freely in our midst, work freely in our heart, implant, impress, convict upon our hearts, Lord, and our minds, what you would so desire for us. And so, Lord, we want to come before you with thanksgiving and with an invitation, that you would work and an offering that we would give to you, our worship and our whole being, Lord. We thank you so much, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. The sun is facing my eyes. I'm gonna see if I could darken that a little bit. Can you still see me? All right. Okay, I'm gonna start the whatchamacallit share screen here. So the other day, I want to share with you at prayer meeting on Thursday night. Now, I know a lot of you may not dig it, but our prayer meeting on Thursday night has a lot of faithful old sisters and brothers, and some of us young ones are on there. But this is what happened on Thursday prayer, okay? Our sister Jane Chen, that's Cindy's mom, she shared the study of who God is in the book of Psalms. And can we just take turns reading these and let's just keep it moving, all right? So please just jump in, unmute yourself, and read one and let someone else read another. Let someone else read another. Okay, can we do that this morning?
Psalm 3:3, but you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high.
Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd.
Psalm 32, Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me.
Psalm 54. Go ahead.
Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me.
Yeah, you don't have to read the verses. Just read the words. Go ahead.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refugee. Trust in him at all times. O people, pour out your heart to him. For people is our refuge. Selah.
The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion.
For the Lord God is his sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless.
Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind.
Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his.
Good, thank you. Now, this was not her study. This was just my study. This is not even complete. Auntie Jane, started to read off of her notes the things that she's been writing down on who God is. And she just spent 5 minutes, 7 minutes, I don't know, reading it. It went from Psalms, went to Hebrews. And I just want you to take a moment to just read through this again on your own. I'll read some of them slowly from the top and just meditate on them. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. The Lord is my shepherd. Lord, my God, I call to you for your help. I called to you for help, and you healed me. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. You see, you could take just one of these and say, what does it mean that, God, you are a shield that is around me? What does that mean? We know what a shield is, so what does it mean that you are a shield? God, you are my shepherd. Now, I think I know what a shepherd does. How are you my shepherd? How are you my shepherd? How are you a refuge? Why do people run to a refuge? How are you my strength? How are you my mighty rock? Let me ask you a question this morning. What is your reaction to reading and knowing and thinking about who God is and praising him? What is your reaction to that this morning? Just share like a one word or two word answer. Can we do that together? What is your reaction to this?
Comforting.
Mm-hmm.
And cared for?
I'm sorry?
Cared for.
Cared for, yeah. How does it make you feel? Yeah. You know, I think I have an element of feeling this, so I had to ask that question. What's your reaction to reading and knowing and thinking about who God is and praising him? What are some other words, folks?
Reinforcement.
Okay, reinforcement. Any other
being loved.
Mm-hmm. Being loved, yeah.
I see a picture of Jesus walking with me.
Mm.
Us. Yeah, when you mentioned the shepherd part.
Mm-hmm.
So he's... Yeah, I don't have a word, just a picture.
Sure. And,
you know, there's a Psalm 23, actual song of Psalm 23.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it says, he goes before me, right? But then the lyric says, he's defender behind me.
Mm-hmm.
That means a lot because usually it's what's behind us that we're fearful of.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know. So he's not only leading us, but he's walking with us and he's looking out.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking out for us behind us too, of what we don't even see.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. When I heard Sister Jane at prayer meeting go through her own list of the Psalms, some of these were from that list, but I just took some time to do my own homework. I encourage you to do that sometime. The fact that she read it out and she just kept praising the Lord, and as I was hearing her read God's word of who he says he is. And as I began to form a picture in my mind, my reaction was praise. I don't know if you guys feel that. Like the more I heard her read it, the more my heart felt energized. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head. The Lord is my shepherd. God, I call to you for help and you heal me. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. As she was going through it, my heart welled up. It was like my heart was being filled up. And more, it was as if my head was being lifted up to look at him and to praise him. And after she went through this list, I couldn't even help but say, amen, amen, hallelujah. I wanted to lift up my hands. I mean, I was lifting my hands. I was like, amen, hallelujah. Thank you, sister, for sharing that. As you studied, she studied God's word in Psalms and read out the declaration of who God himself says he is, all these different portraits, pictures of who God is, Some of us gravitate to one or the other at different times. And as she read out her study, what was my reaction to her reading and to the fact that I know and I could think about who God is and praise him? How do I feel about that? I felt energized. I felt so thankful that we are a people who can know God. I felt so thankful that she has God's word. She spent time in God's word and read out different attributes, labels, names of who God is. And I felt so full of praise and also at the same time so full of thanks that I have a chance to know him. I have a chance to know this God, my God. He's not just this God. He wasn't just Sister Jane's God. He's my God. And I have his word, and I can do the same homework, which I did, and I was able to write verses that meant so much to me. And as you were able to read them, you used words as comforted, reinforced, glad, similar types of feelings that we have when we hear and are able to know who our God is and that we have a chance to praise him. Isn't that amazing? Yes? No? I don't know. I can't see you. Can I see you? Oh yeah, I can see you.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Right? This is kind of weird. I hate talking to myself in my room. So our ability to praise God. Think about this. Your ability this morning to praise God is because you have the privilege to know him. That's the only reason why you can praise him. The Westminster Catechism, which is a confession, that's put together by theologians and great minds for the Lord who are able to think through all of Scripture and summarize them into a question and answer form, says, what is the chief end of man? Right? What is the chief end of man? That's one of the first questions. What is the purpose of mankind? And their answer through all of Scripture would say, our main purpose of man is to enjoy, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. In other words, our end is to enjoy and to exalt God. Our end is to enjoy him and to exalt him, to glorify his name, to lift up his name, to praise him. And the only reason why you have an ability to praise him this morning, praise Yahweh, is because you know him, right? And there is a natural human response to something that is brilliant or something that has radiant beauty. So I want to ask you a question right now. I would split you into small groups, but I'm not going to spend time in that. Okay, let's just shout it out together. Think of some examples of when you personally saw or heard or tasted. Think of any of your sensories, right? We could see, we could hear, we could taste, we could touch. Is there other senses? I don't know. But where you experienced something that just captivated your attention and you were in what I wrote in awe, right? Something that left you awestruck. Can you think of some examples of when you saw something, heard something, tasted something, you experienced something and that just captivated your attention? You're in awe. Can you share that with us?
I think nature always brings awe to us. I saw a double rainbow before. Actually, I saw the end of a double rainbow.
The end of it. Was there a pot of gold?
It could be, yeah. It was actually on top of a water.
Okay. And it just you were in awe of that, right? It captivated your attention. Anything else?
Every time I've seen the Grand Canyon, among others, I'm in awe. I says, only God could create this beautiful thing. Man can't, only God can. It always leaves me in awe all these years.
Yeah, good. Thank you. That's cool.
We think babies, especially new births.
Yeah. Anyone else to share? Yeah, babies. No one talks about even food, right? I mean, have you ever taken a bite of something? Like for me, when Bethany makes a, I really believe she makes a mean chocolate chip cookie. And when it's just fresh out of the oven and it's a little crunchy on the outside, she makes it that way. So it's a little crunchy on the outside, soft and melty on the inside. I don't know if you've ever ate something and said, wow, this is really special. This is brilliant, right?
I think for me, when I see a strawberry, I don't know why.
That's cool.
Strawberries are so beautiful.
And, oh, that's good. Yeah.
And I think of how God created strawberry.
Yeah.
I'm always in awe. I just love to look at them.
Right. The other, how about hearing things? You know, when I hear a song that is perfectly in tune and perfectly on beat and the song is stirring, it could be a worship song. It doesn't have to be even. I remember recently hearing Jonathan Fan play on his cello. And I can get mesmerized in a song, and especially played well. I will, he makes facial expressions as he plays, and I get captivated by that. I'm immersed by watching someone who's immersed and enjoying playing music. That really gets me. Mountains and oceans get me. Mountains and oceans get me. You know, when I could stare at waves forever. I could just stare and just be awestruck by waves, and then being in the waves and being just so immersed in how fascinating waves are. I love that. Being under the water, scuba diving gets me. Seeing the underwater world, the whole world that's underwater. I think it's amazing that God gives us, you know, God created us with senses, the ability to see and to smell and to hear and to taste. And all of these things show us that there is a natural human response to something that you find brilliant or radiant, something that tastes beautiful. Can we just thank God this morning that we can taste like something that we love to eat and say, God, you gave me the chance to be able to taste that or see this and to hear this and be captivated by it, right? Can you thank God this morning for that? Yes, do you thank God for that? I do. I want to tie that in with something. Look at these verses. All the kings of the earth will give thanks to you, O Lord, when they have heard I'm going to use my pen here. I'm trying this. All the kings of the earth, they will give thanks to you, O Lord, when what? When they have heard the words of your mouth. They will give thanks to you, O Lord, when they've heard about you. And they will what? Sing of the ways of the Lord. All of them will. All of them will. When they've heard. You have a chance to give thanks to the Lord because you have heard. And you are able to sing of the ways of the Lord because you have heard of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. The Lord's glory is so great to you, and you've heard about it, so you are able to give thanks to him and to sing of him. And one day, the earth will be filled with the knowledge, look at that word, of the glory of the Lord. It will so cover the earth the way that waters cover the sea. Right? And I love this verse right here. So I'm going to change my color. Let the peoples, look at that word, the same word that we see, which is ethne, right? Type of a word. The people groups, the peoples of the, let the people groups praise thee, O God. Let all the peoples praise thee. Let the nations, plural, be glad. This is in the time of Israel. This is when Frank led us through our class several weeks ago that Israel had a duty to market and to proclaim and to sell and advertise the name of the Lord so that all the peoples, plural, would be able to praise our God, that the nations, plural, would be able to be glad and sing. Notice that sing is often associated with knowing, right? Because when they have heard of God, when the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is around, then people are able to sing and be what? Glad. It is as you heard all of those psalms of who God is, you're able to be glad and sing, and you're able to then, we call that praise, right? We're able to praise, but all because we have heard and we know. You guys tracking with me, right? I shared this quote with you before. I love it. It's by Stephen Hawthorne. We use this word glory so often. We use this word glory so often, but he helps us to define it. Glory is the relational beauty that every person's heart yearns to behold and even to enter. The word glory in scripture, it's true, it refers to the essential worth, the beauty, and the value of people, of created things, and of course the creator himself. That's a general word. The Hebrew word for glory means weight, substance, and brilliance or radiant beauty. So to glorify someone is to recognize their intrinsic worth and beauty, and to speak of that feature in a public way. So when we say we glorify someone, we recognize, we're able to give credit to something, someone's intrinsic, that means their inherent worth, the value, the beauty, and to speak of that intrinsic worth in a public way. That's why praise, yada, is so important. Praise is part of glorifying, right? Praise is to be able to speak out loud publicly about that. So to glorify God is to praise or to speak of him openly and truthfully. It's to be able to speak out loud of who God is. That's why when Sister Jane was able to do that at prayer meeting, as she was speaking of him openly and truthfully, it gave me a welling up of praise myself. Right? She was helping me to hear and to understand what God's word says he is. So that all the nations whom you have made shall come and worship you. Right? We worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name. This is where all of Scripture is leading us to. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, already predicted in Psalms that one day all nations, and we see this in Revelations, all nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, all peoples, all ethne, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name. They will know and be able to praise and or speak of you openly and truthfully. They will know you. They will know your intrinsic worth and your beauty. Because even the psalmist recognized this for himself personally, right? Personally, when we know the worth of God, we can say, Lord, there's only one thing that I really desire, and it's to dwell in your house. What does that mean, to dwell in the house of the Lord? It means to be in your presence. This is what I desire, God. There's only one thing that I long for the most. There's only one thing that I desire the most, and it is that I can be in your presence all the days of my life, to gaze upon your beauty, your intrinsic worth, and to seek you, to be with you. That's what I desire the most. To always be in your presence. See, this is what I hope we feel personally. But that's because you know God. What about the people and the nations who don't know God? This here we call worship. So why does evangelism exist? Why does worship, why does missions work exist? Because worship doesn't exist everywhere. This drives this end. That's why John Piper is well known to say, missions exists because worship doesn't. Does it bother you at all that so many people around us are not able to say, this is what I desire, that I can have the presence of God, that I can know God and that I can praise him? For all the moments that you can spend meditating on him, sitting with him, enjoying him, exalting him, does it not bring an itch at all, or a drive that other people do not have a chance to know him the way you do? That's why I would say evangelism exists. Evangelism exists because worship doesn't. We want everyone to have a chance to know God the way we do, right? So I'm gonna end with this particular verse. Let me see, how are we at? I don't even know where we are on time. What is the time? Okay, yeah, we're good. Let's take a look at Psalm 96. And I think there's different, even as you look at the starting verbs, the initial verbs, I'll use that in an easier way, right? The first verb that you see in many of the sentences, these each transition and help us to understand this movement of God's glory, right? The knowledge of his glory. The first few here, Psalm 96 says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name." Do you see that? Sing to the Lord. What's the starting verb of those sentences? What's the starting verb? Pretty easy, right?
Yeah.
Sing. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. And then all of a sudden, see, notice again, the word sing. Sing a new song. But for those who are singing to the Lord, what does it transition us to? What's the next verb?
Bless.
Yeah, okay, that's part of sing, I would say. Sing and bless, right? For those of us who are singing to the Lord a new song, blessing his name, what's the next verb?
Tell.
Tell. Tell of what? Tell of his salvation. Those who are singing to the Lord, the invitation is to tell of his salvation. I would even say it's a progression, it's a command. What's the next verb?
Declare.
To declare. So declare of his what?
Glory.
Glory. To declare to who?
It's among all the nations, so everyone, right?
The everyone. Nations, right? Everyone. To all the peoples. So for those of us who are singing to the Lord, who are able to bless his name, the psalm progresses to say, tell of his salvation, declare his glory, declare his marvelous works among all the peoples. So among the nations, among all the peoples, declare it, to tell of his salvation. All right, you guys with me with that? For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless. Okay? People are made to worship. We all worship. Worship is where what we view. Do you remember how I define worship? What does the English word worship come from? Do you remember?
Worship.
Worth. We worship what we find has worth. We put our time and our energy to what we believe has the most worth. Sometimes we even put our greatest amount of time and energy into our children, into our family, because they're worth it. We put time and money and energy, sweat equity into certain things because it's worth it to us. We want to build up our finances because it's worth it to us. Or we're doing that to preserve our way of life because our way of life is worth it to us. We all worship. And in the Ten Commandments, the four first commandments have to do with the worth and the value of God in our life. And it warns us against idolatry because we have a sinful nature that views other things as more worth it than God. The peoples of the world place their worship in things that are worthless. And so for those of us who know the worth of God, then the call for us, those who are able to sing to the Lord, to bless his name, are called to tell of his salvation from day to day. We are called to declare his glory among the people who do not know him. We are to declare his marvelous works among those who do not know. Right? Even splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. That means in the presence of God, people find splendor and majesty. In the presence of God, people will find his strength and his beauty, right? And when we have declared his salvation from day to day, it says, from day to day. That means every day, right? Every day we are going out to tell of his salvation, declare his glory to people who do not know, right? Verse 7 transitions to something else. It says, O families of the peoples, you are able to ascribe to the Lord. That's the next verb, right? Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord. What does the word ascribe mean? The original Hebrew word is very simple. It just means to give. Or to, how do we understand this English word, ascribe? It means give credit to, right? Ascribe to the Lord. Give to the Lord Give to the Lord. Give credit to the Lord, O families of the people who have now heard, right? Because someone has told of his salvation. Someone has declared his glory every day among all the peoples, among the nations, so that they could turn from things that are worthless to the God of worth. That they could experience his splendor and majesty, strength and beauty. And so now the call is for those families of those peoples who have now heard, the call is for them to give credit to the Lord. Give to the Lord glory and strength. So now they're giving glory to the Lord. Giving to the Lord the glory due his name. And what's the next verb, it says? What is the next verb? What does it say?
Bring.
Bring, right? So now it says, bring. So those people are to bring an offering. And they can now, what's the next verb? Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness, right? Look at that. And come into his courts. The next few verses show all of this type of picture from verse 11, is that there is gladness, that they are able to rejoice. They are able to exalt. And they're able to sing for joy because someone has told of his salvation, declared his glory. So now they can give and give credit to. Does this strike you as weird though? That they can give? How can you give glory to God? Doesn't God already have all the glory? How can you give glory and strength to God when he already has a glory? Do you know this verse in Psalm? I was thinking about this Psalm 50, verse 9. It says, God says, I have no need for a bull from your stall. He's the God with 1,000 cattle on the hill, right? That's what it talks about. But he says, I want you to offer me a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I don't know if you could read my handwriting. God doesn't have need. But he loves for his people to give him thanks and praise. He doesn't even need that. God doesn't need it, but God loves it. Why would it even say here that when you know the glory due his name, why does God even say bring an offering? Right here. Why does it say bring an offering? Does God need your gifts? No. But God knows this about human nature. The gift brings the giver. Whenever we bring a gift, it really shows our heart. When someone brings you a gift, it shows what you mean to them. A lot of times for my kids, it's not the gift that they bring to me that matters. It's that it brought them. God calls us to bring an offering, not because he needs the gift. It's that the gift brings the giver. And you see, isn't this amazing? That from all the way to the people who are able to sing to the Lord a new song, these are the people who tell of his salvation every day, declare his glory among the nations every day, to declare his marvelous works among all the peoples every day, so that they can turn from worthless idols to our God, who is full of intrinsic worth, so that they are able to give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, give to the Lord glory and strength, so that they're able to bring an offering, which brings themselves, so that they can worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness, and they will be glad and rejoice and exalt, and they will sing for joy. I can't even underline that right now, right? And it brings this cycle all the way back to the beginning again. You see that? Now, these are the people who are able to sing for joy. So they, in turn, can tell of his salvation from day to day, every day, and declare his glory among the nations. Are you guys tracking with me today? Are you tracking with me? Yes? You see, this is the picture. See, all these families of the peoples are able to go back and repeat this. They are the ones now singing a new song, blessing his name, telling of his salvation to others who do not know. So my last question to you this morning then is, what do you think prevents you from telling his salvation, declaring his glory among the nations every day? What prevents you from doing that? What holds you back? Yeah, maybe we'll just leave that for people to kind of think about, so that, you know, we can delete all the personal stuff. I think that's okay. Yeah, I guess for me, it's a challenge too. I think that was a question that I was asking myself, right? You know, and you know, what holds me back from doing it daily, from thinking about this daily? Part of it for me is, I think one of the nature of sin, right? I think it was either Martin Luther or John Calvin who said this, and I've shared this several times. Working with wood, right? If I take an edge of a piece of wood and I you know, you take a blade or you take a chisel and you go alongside the wood that you scrape will begin to curve, right, in on itself. And I forgot who said it, either John Calvin or Martin Luther, one of those old schoolers, said that that's what sin is. Sin is curving in upon oneself. And I know that for myself, there is a strong element where there's a sinful tendency of my flesh that still curves in on myself. I'm much more self-oriented than I am others-oriented. I'm very much, if left to my own devices, without God's grace, I can easily just think about myself all the time. Not that thinking of yourself is wrong, but to think of yourself all the time is really gives that picture that you're curved in on yourself. And so it's a woe is me syndrome. Everything kind of becomes of me. But part of the healing journey, I think, even that God has for us is that we're straightened out because of our Savior, and we're able to be not curved in upon ourselves, but to be straightened allows us to be able to look around and see others. At least that's for me personally, right? So that's why I wrote that question. It was really kind of a question for myself. But yeah, I mean, and I thought of actually what Frank had said, because sometimes the reason why we don't magnify God with others so much is because we don't magnify God a lot ourselves. How often do we spend singing to the Lord and thinking of his marvelous love for us, giving us all of these senses to experience his creation and to just meditate on his amazing love? Maybe I can encourage us to just meditate more on his amazing love for us. And the fact that he brought you in to be a worshiper, to be someone who knows Yahweh. And if we meditate on that more, oh boy, if we meditate on that more, boy, maybe that could prompt us to want to declare his glory among the nations, to declare his marvelous works among all the peoples, right? Maybe we need to hear, like I started this class, Auntie Jane, from me, hearing her declare God's worth, it stirred me up. And maybe we need to go back to that. Go to the Psalms and find out all of these names of God, highlight them, write them down, and meditate on them. Sing of him, and maybe that can stir us on. Okay? All right. I think I've gone over time, so let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I just, I'm thinking about a song that we sang last night in the English group. That was an invitation for us to come together and magnify your name. I pray that, Lord, you would maybe allow us to hear that invitation this morning. Oh, would we magnify and lift up your name together, oh God, whether it be with an old traditional hymn or a new contemporary song. I don't think that's necessarily what it is. It's just the psalmist says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. And that we, when we sing to you, Lord, that we bless your name, that we would sing and rejoice of your salvation day to day, so that we can tell of your salvation from day to day. Oh Lord, it's not easy to teach on Zoom, for me at least, but I hope, I pray that this class would have benefited our brothers and sisters, that all the nations and ourselves, Lord, would be able to be glad and to rejoice and to exalt you and to enjoy you forever and for this day. Lord, maybe today I pray that you would help us to enjoy you. Today, help us to exalt you. Today, I pray that we would rejoice because of you and be glad. Help us to have that today and have the courage to share with someone today of your glory and your majesty. We thank you, God, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.